podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, folks, and welcome to the This Is Ibrox March Player and Goal of the Month review hosted by Jock. With me today, I have two of our more prominent contributors at This Is Ibrox in the form of Shug and Dave. How's it going, Dave?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thanks for having me on.
And how's it going, Shug?
Yeah, I'm good. Excited. Looking forward to Celtic coming up at the weekend. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think we all are.
Battle fever's kicking already.
Yeah, like that. Yep. The Twitter rampage is ramping up, isn't it? More ways than one.
Just be careful what you say these days, lads, you know?
Here's Coisty that's getting the flack at the moment. Coisty's stirred the hornet's nest this morning, I've seen.
Certainly riled them up, didn't he?
Aye, he's pushing all the right buttons, that's for sure. Right, we'll get stuck into it then. So we'll go with the goals of the month first. There's slim pickings this month with the international break, which really sort of killed any momentum that we built up for the previous month. So for the month of March, Rangers went 4-8 goals and 5 against. Those were spread across only 2 league games, 1 cup game and 2 European games against Benfica. Which, of course, saw us drop out of Europe after the winter periods. Again, that's not really for everybody. But our player of the month candidates, Shug, I'll start with you first, please.
Yeah, I'm going to go Mohamed Diomande. Yeah, I think he's fitting like a glove into that midfield. I think he's the kind of player we've been searching for years. He's plays with a smile on his face. He works so hard. He looks like he can keep a football in a phone box. He's just got a bit of everything about him. Scores, goals. Yeah, I've been very impressed with what I've seen from the start, and the $4.5 million fee that's being touted seems to be an absolute bargain. So I think, as a first big signing, I think he's definitely hit the ground running. And yeah, I thought he was superb throughout March and throughout his spell with us so far.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you there. He's slotted into the team really well. I think Clement sort of bred him in perfectly, really, from the start when he first joined up, because he didn't get thrown in straight away. It was bits and pieces and then picked the right games from the start. He's contributing with goals as well, and I think you're right, that fee that we've agreed I think seems quite low considering what we've seen so far, because like your point about keeping the phone or the ball in a phone box is right. His technique and his close controls, I think, a level above anybody else in the team. I don't see anybody else. So maybe Cantwell's got that sort of close control, good with the ball at his feet ability, but mm-hmm. I don't think anybody else is coming close to him.
I think he kind of reminds me a bit of Joe Aribo, but plays that wee bit further back. He's got that sort of skill set about him, that Joe Aribo used to bring to us. But I think he's got more energy than what Joe Aribo had. Do you think we made $6 million off Joe Aribo, and that was when his contract was going up? So if Diomande continues in this trend, in this path, then it's ridiculous money we could possibly make off him, but I think we've got to enjoy him while we've got him.
Aye. I think just on Diomande as well, I think, was he not like a month without games and stuff when he signed for us? Was it not their off-season? So that's so, him without a pre-season or anything, just slotting into the team. Can you imagine what he's going to be like after a full summer workup?
Yeah,
I think you could say that across the board for the whole team that get a Phil Clement preseason, because that's the first thing he hammered at home about the fitness of the whole squad whenever he first stepped into the job. So I think across the board, I think we can all look forward to seeing him. a proper fit team and a good pre-season out of the team.
I think the other thing with Diamande, I'm probably glad that, from what I read at the time, I think everything's all sort of signed up, obligation, it's all set, isn't it? There's no kind of, all right, you could have had him for 4.5, but actually he's done really well for you, so we're now going to charge you 6 or 7, or even like a Tillman situation where he decides he doesn't want to come. I think that's all kind of done and dusted, so that's another bonus.
I believe it's all, it has to happen. I think it's more to do with financial fair play and stuff like that, why they've structured the deal rather than buying and paying the money during this tax year or whatever. They wait to the following year and it's in next year's accounts and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a Ranger. Well, we know he's going to be a Ranger. We don't know what country he's going to play for. International tug of war going on with him. That highlights the start he's had at our club, that Ghana are straight in there to try and steal him off the Ivory Coast. So, yeah, he's obviously raising eyebrows elsewhere as well.
Yeah, 100%. I was going to say, the Cortez deal structured similar as well as the Diamandis, isn't it?
I think he's not an option, rather than obligation. He's a really tough one because I thought he looked really good before his injury, but at the same time, it's a hell of a limited amount of games to then kind of take, you know, hit the trigger and sign him.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what happens there. And I suppose the other thing that I wonder with Cortez is, does the Sima situation actually factor into that as well? Is it one or the other? It's potentially both. You know, it's interesting times this summer, I think.
I don't know if we can knock a few million off the Cortez agreed fee. He's damaged goods. It's damaged goods now. He's no sparkling package that he arrived at Rangers at, so he's a bit damaged, so we have to fix him. So knock a million or two off.
I think we could say the same for Sima, since he's been missing for 2 months. Wonder if that'll factor come negotiation time in Brighton.
I'm not convinced it will with Sima, because I think he'd had enough time before that we started to get a flavour of what we would be getting if we signed him. And I think, you know, there was actually talk of hitting the trigger with that one and looking to sign him if a deal could be done with Brighton. I'm not convinced.
Talking to Sima, March wasn't filled with lots of highlights, but seeing him coming off the bench at the weekend was absolutely brilliant, and it's so exciting to see, ready for the title running. Don't think he'll be fit this week, but fit to start anyway, but you'd imagine that after the split, he'll be ready to go. So I think that might be one of the highlights of March as a Rangers fan.
Agreed. I was wondering if they're going to do a maybe closed-door game, maybe the day or tomorrow for some of the guys coming back before the game on Saturday, just to sort of get minutes into particularly Sima's legs.
Such a tough one, isn't it? Because on one hand, I absolutely make sense for the likes of Sima, you know, potentially Ridvan if he is able to play. Mm-hmm. You know, Matondo's another one. Sterling had been out for a wee bit. I think there's a few of them that could benefit from minutes, but at the same time, I just get the fear with these games. It's like, what happens if one of them gets injured, you know? You suddenly take Cantwell, for example. He'd been out for a bit and just working his way back. He gets some minutes in the game, gets injured, and suddenly you're missing one of your top performers for the Old Firm. It's so hard. It's so hard. But you could argue either way, to be fair.
That's the risk factor with the running coming in now. With the international break's done, dust it. We've got guys back. Yes, man, it's not in the legs, but we'll get that through, obviously, the games. It's do you risk that extra bounce game just to sort of get them match sharpness into them for the big game at the weekend?
Yeah. I'm sure there'll be plenty of folk criticising the decision either way come Sunday, you know. It's easy with hindsight, isn't it? But it's one of those.
I think we've got a manager we can trust. He'll do the right thing.
Aye.
He's shown that. He's shown that for the start, really, hasn't he? you know, his man management has been pretty spot on so far. So, like you say, the trust's there. Dave, you want to give us your player of the month?
Yeah, so so I actually plumped for John Souter. And I think the reason for it, so sort of the front end of the season, Balogun pretty much made that position his own. And in fairness, I thought at the time Balogun deserved it based on what he was doing. Souter, I think Souter's a great player. By God, the boys got mistaken him sometimes. And I think that showed in the front side of the season. There was a few things that you looked at it, and actually the goal we conceded, if you kind of traced it back, you could quite easily pinpoint it on a mistake that Souter's made. But Balogun obviously dropped out and Souter's come in, and I think he's played every game in March, if I remember rightly. And he's really sort of cemented that position as his own. He's cut out the kind of mistakes in the main, and obviously we're not talking about Scotland games here, so I gather he made a few mistakes there, fair enough. But actually in Rangers colours, he hasn't made those same mistakes. And I think Goldson as well contributes to it to an extent. Now Goldson obviously has been one of our best defenders for a wee while now. He's kind of had a few issues, and actually it's been Souter that's been kind of mopping up behind him. So I think Souter's not only played his way into the team, but actually probably put himself as one of the first names on the sheet, certainly at the back. And for me, from where he was at the start of the season with the injuries, then the form of Balogun, to actually put himself in that prime position, I think fair play to the lads. So that's my pick.
Yeah, he's kind of, he fitted in after Balogun got that face knock, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And then Balogun having to wear the mask and stuff. So like you say, I agree with you with the same of the mistakes. The mistakes, if you traced it back, if you look back at it, there was maybe you could have did something better with the ball, or you could have made another decision, kind of sort of odd mistakes you would see Ben Davies make last year. The same sort of thing that cost us silly goals that ultimately yeah. cost us points in the end up, didn't it?
Aye.
But like you say, take Scotland out of it. He has been pretty solid, and he's been getting rave reviews. I think he's, like you say, he's trustworthy at the back, and he's last part of the season he's been taking over Goldson, as you say, in terms of being the sort of the better performer. But his ball carrying and his passing ability for a defender is really good, which I think helps as well, because he can pass his way at a baller, and he can get us up the park quicker than other defenders would, particularly Goldson, because Goldson only has that sort of long ball that we've been accustomed to see over the years.
Long diagonals. But I think that's a really interesting point with Souter, actually. And you see him taking it from the back, just taking the ball for a wonder sometimes. I mean, he does play the passes as well, and he's done all right with them. But those runs that he makes out from the back are, as you say, one, it drives us forward. Two, see if I was on the other side and I seen flipping John Souter running at me, I'd have the fear, man. He's not exactly a small lad, is he? But no, he moves quite quickly on the pitch, and he does get it up there. And there's a few times I've noticed, basically, the only way that they've been able to stop him is either get a load of bodies around him, which then frees up space elsewhere, or hacking him and bringing him down. So, yeah, I think that's a good point as well, actually, with the sort of runs out from the back.
I think he's fast becoming our first choice centre-half. Mm-hmm. And
yep.
I think the errors in his game are becoming less and less because he's staying fit. And I think him staying fit is key to his future. If he's run a season, two seasons with good fitness and stuff like that, you couldn't even rule him out being a future Rangers captain. He represents the club well. He's strong in the pitch, and who doesn't love a centre-half as captain? I think he's fast becoming first choice, and I think it'll be up to Phil Clement next season and things like that to sort of start on the right side of the centre-halves if he's outperforming, because he's starting on the left side just now, but he has the right footer, so I think if another defender comes in, because I expect Ben Davies and that to go in the summer, Balogun might be let go in the summer as well. So we've got another centre half in, then Goldson's maybe the one that's going to have to be looking over his shoulder all and so.
I think yeah, with Balogun, is he not out of contract? Was he not only bought in on a year?
Yeah,
he's out of contract, but we don't know if they'll give him another season or not.
Yeah. Do you think they would? I suppose a lot of it depends where they want, because they're going to have a limited budget, aren't they? So I guess it depends where they want to invest that, whether it's a centre-back or they can get someone decent on a free, or if it is, you know, potentially just bring him in for another year as cover. So
yeah. So that'll be interesting, but I expect Ben Davis will be chased. You don't think Ben Clinton won't fancy him at all, so...
Nah, he hasn't featured at all, has he? He hasn't featured at all under the manager.
And the thing is, Clement
for the manager, bringing another
sort. Yeah, I mean, for me, Clement isn't the sort that's just going to pan him out for the sake of it. He's obviously not shown enough in training to suggest he deserves that chance, or even, to be fair, you know, some minutes ahead of either Balogun or Suter. So, yeah. Yeah, I think you might be right with Davis. If we can find someone to take him, I suppose, is the only caveat to that.
Who knows?
Need the head of recruitment, isn't it?
True that. Mind you, Cortez, Diamande, it's not off to a bad start, is it?
No, he's doing not too bad, isn't he? Right, I'll bring it on then to my player of the month, which I really struggled with because of the break and because I didn't really know where to look. And then I sat back and I looked back at Todd Cantwell coming back, and I thought his performance there at the weekend was fantastic. And then he came on against Benfica, his first sort of match minutes back from his injury, and I just thought he really showed what we've missed in that midfield, just something different. And you know, the way he carries the ball across the pitch, he drags people out of position, his passing range, which he showed for the goal for Dessers, you know, the curved ball into the middle of the box, or into the mixer as we say over here, and the defender's nightmare, Desser's dream, or it should be Desser's dream 50% of the time, but it's more like 25% if we're lucky. His eye for goal, you know, his grit and tackle. To me, an informed Cantwell going into this weekend's game is a match winning, a potential match winner. And I just thought I think a good run of form last game, and then at the minutes against Benfica, get him in the starting lineup, and I think he'll thrive, because he did the last game at Ibrox. I know last year we won 3-0. I know it was like a nothing game really, but he was really up for it, and he sort of put the show on there that game. So I'm hoping for more of the same this weekend from him. So
yeah, I know that'll be. Hundreds or thousands will probably disagree with me, but I think he's so much a step up in Tom Lawrence. I think he's so much better than Lawrence. I think you see it in games. I think he offers much more in every single department. Energy, his passing, his inventiveness, his shooting, his crossing at the weekend and things. I think he's just an upgrade on Tom Lawrence. So keeping Cantwell fit and keeping him in form will be key in this running, and Tom Lawrence can be his backup. I think it's definitely that way around. I wouldn't like to see Lawrence being played ahead of Cantwell, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'd agree with that as well, to be fair. I think Lawrence does offer you kind of different attributes to what Cantwell does, but if I had to pick one or the other, I'm with Shaggy. It would definitely be Cantwell for me.
That's it. It's the joys of the squad, though, isn't it? You have somebody who, like Lawrence, who was key in that Kilmarnock game last month, with the quick thinking for the goal. It gets us the 3 points in a game where we weren't at our best, but we managed to dig out 3 points away home against Kilmarnock. It's no easy feat. So he's contributed, and let's say he will contribute for this run-in until it. As I just reiterate, having Cantwell back and informing fit, and the run-in is going to be key, because you'll get goals, you'll get assists, you'll create opportunities for others.
Tell you another thing I've noticed actually about Gamwell on the old social media is he seems to be getting a bit of the Morelos treatment now, where you know, sort of opposition fans aren't really kind of focusing on what he does in, you know, these games against Hibs or Kilmarnock or anyone else, and it's all about the old firm. And I think it's quite an interesting point that you made, Jock. You know, he basically ran the show in that 3-0, which, you know, for all intents and purposes was a bit of a dead rubber, as much as an old firm ever is.
Yeah.
So I think on a personal level, it's probably about time he kind of steps up in one that really matters and just, you know, knocks off all that criticism, basically, because we know what he can do. But, yeah, you know, he's going to keep, like Morelos did, regardless of what he does elsewhere, it'll always be his record in old firms that will be highlighted. So for me, it would be really, really pleasing if he put on a masterclass this weekend, just knock that lot off the park and, you know, puts to bed any of this rubbish that he can't do it in an old firm that matters. So, yeah, I think the stars are aligning. We just got to hope he takes that chance now, haven't we?
That's it. Right, I'll move us on to then goal of the month, and I'll kick us off for this one. So, again, slim pickings this month, really, because there only was the 8 goals to pick from. But I picked Tav's British record-breaking goal at the weekend. Could not. A bit miffed that he missed the penalty because he was on my coupon for 2 or more goals.
Oh, wait.
he was the one.
Blame his missus, mate. Blame his missus. It was her that told him to stick it down the middle, apparently.
So we're here. Yeah. But the goal, fantastic goal. Ball's coming out the sky. He's late run into the box. Hits it first time. Cross the goalkeeper into the net. Typical Tav, late run in the box. And then that's another non-penalty to add to his growing list of 131 goals and 450 appearances for Rangers. I can't really say more than that. It's just a solid goal for him. Have you seen the montage that's going about Twitter at the moment?
Yeah.
For some of his goals. It's ridiculous.
Some of them are crazy. Like,
I'll tell you another thing.
I've seen a lot of comments about, he's playing in Scotland, right? That's utter nonsense. If that was the case, right, why does every other right-back in Scotland not get that kind of numbers?
Exactly.
You know, it's complete nonsense. And that montage you've mentioned, you look at some of his goals, they are top drawer. All right, it was against Peterhead, but do you remember in that...
volley. I was standing behind
that.
The volley that he hit.
Oh. That's an incredible shot. I don't care who you're playing. That is an incredible goal. And if someone had scored that in the EPL, you'd be seeing highlights of it for weeks.
The standout one for me is the free kick against Dundee United. Remember that on that 55 season, the one he was right out, but he gets the bend and whip and dip on it up and down. And Messi had scored a free kick. It wasn't as good as that the week or two before, and everybody was raving about it, saying this is fantastic. Yeah. And the only person doing justice in the commentator was Coisty, because I think Crocker was having kittens in the background, but Coisty was trying to G everybody up and see how good a goal it was. But free set piece ability is ridiculous.
And that one that you mentioned, actually, the goal at the weekend there, that's not an anomaly. It's quite similar in ways to the one that he scored against Aberdeen in the Cup earlier in the season, where he kind of picked it up at the edge of the box on the volley as well. So, you know, these things aren't accidents. No. They're planned, they're intentional, and he's shown time and time again that he can repeat it. So, incredible achievement. I think it's one of these for, you know, I don't think some Rangers fans might not realise what they've got until he's gone.
That's what Goulson said, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I think we're right.
I do think there's a lot of truth in that.
Yeah. If it's not assist, you know, if he's not assisting crosses into the box or creating something, it's...
I mean, where the hell do you even start replacing that kind of output from right back, for God's sakes?
Yeah,
you just can't.
just an anomaly, isn't it? You'll not have a right back again in Scotland that'll do that probably for another 10, 15, maybe 20 years.
Agreed.
Touch wood is for Rangers, right enough. Right, Chuck, I'll go to you then for your goal of the month.
Well, the outstanding goal was Matondo, but I'm going to go with Tavernier as well, just because of significance. His 131st career goal, it's just phenomenal. I know we've just gave him so many plaudits, but it is, yeah, he scores a lot of penalties. Yeah, he's missed a couple lately, but he scores a lot of penalties. But I mean, there was going by in seasons, I remember it was always Bonner was the assist king because he was setting Tav up. And I think that's probably the kind of goal that I remember him for, is that late arrival in the box and being there. Like I said, it's no accident. It's not
a fullback to fullback job.
A fluke. Yeah, it's not a fluke that he shows up and he gets these goals. And so many important goals, not just goals, but important goals, goals that have won us games, goals that have turned games around. He's been phenomenal over the piece for us. Yeah, I think we started his 122nd for us or something, 123rd for us. Yeah.
It's around that. I was looking at it there before. Come on, he's so many behind. I think Hierro for Real Madrid for the most goals at any one club by a defender. So he's not far off it. He'll get that next season, or if not, this season if we get a shed of penalties.
Hopefully get it on Sunday.
I'm sure once brother Beaton gives us a couple of penalties, he'll be there, mate.
Can I just jump in
on that penalty comment that Shug made, by the way? Because this is one of my massive frustrations about Tav, right? Is the amount of folk that give it, they're all penalties, right? You've still got to score him.
Yeah, right.
You've got more pressure on a penalty because you've got that time in between, you know, the VAR check and then sort of waiting for everyone to set the run up, all that stuff, right? I'd say it's more pressured a situation to score a penalty than it is to not. So, all right, maybe a chunk of them are penalties. You've still got to score them. They still count the same towards 3 points. And I'll tell you another thing. See the amount of missed penalties that mob have had this season. I bet they wish they had someone that could take penalties like Tavernier. So this whole penalties nonsense is nothing but rubbish.
Nah, like you hit the nail on the head there.
His penalty taking in general is really good as well.
Yeah.
And he mixes it up. Just tell Naughty Leverton to the wife next time, but you've seen them put them down the middle, you've seen them put them in the top corners, you've seen them putting them in bottom corners. If you're a goalkeeper and you're facing Tav at a penalty, you really don't know where it's going. It would be funny to see that graphic that they put up in games when people are taking penalties. I'd love to see where old Tav's penalties have been over his time.
I Sports Scotland have anything like that. For us, I think that's only for the Premier League. We're not on the budget.
Yeah, probably get it in the Football League. Probably get it in the National League down south before you get it up here.
We'd be surprised.
Nay for the SPFL. For refs will want paid extra for that or something after.
Yep, good old Neil Doncaster's negotiating. But let's not get started on him. That can just
take some whole kind of one. We'll be paying them podcast if Doncaster's blooming negotiating it. Jeez.
Right, Dave, goal of the month, please.
So to be fair, I think I'm a bit torn. I think if we're just going sheer quality of goal, then I think Shug's right. Matondo's is obviously the standout of this month, right? Yep. Incredible goal, nice wee run to do it, but how many times have we seen that in the past? It was one of the kind of criticisms that was levelled at Kent, to be fair, was, you know, he could do all the build-up, but he just couldn't finish it. And you see Matondo do that. It's not the first time he's done it either. He's scored similar goals to that, so it's something that he's got in his locker. And I get he's a frustrating player. I'm the first to rage about some of what he gets up to, but when he does it right, he's a bloody good player, and you start to see why, you know, he was in City Academy, why Schalke signed him for big money. So I think just based on pure quality of the goal, it would be that. But it is incredibly hard to get away from the significance of Tav's goal, as you've said. And I'm not going to embellish that point. You know, we've talked about it, and I think you could probably have an entire podcast just talking about Tav and still run out of time. But yeah, for me, it's a choice between those two, one for sheer quality, one for the significance of scoring that goal.
Yeah, I love the return of the goal. I love the fact that Clement came out after the game and singled him out and said that he's been working on it. He's been at training working on it, and it's one of the things that he's been working on is to better finish, and it's great when it pays off so quickly. So
yeah,
hopefully yeah, we'll see many more, because we've got options. I'm sure when he joined as a right winger, but in fact it was then pointed out that he played all his football on the left wing in Belgium. That's right, so we've got Sima coming back, so that left side's getting a bit stacked. So
I think that's my only worry at the minute, isn't it? Is they're all our bloody decent wingers are left sided.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting seeing what Clement's going to do going forward. It was interesting again seeing Sima come off the bench and he come on as centre forward. So I don't know if that's going to be an option looked at. You can Fabio Silva and stuff like that. Will he move back up as a striker? Will Dessers continue to be the number one choice? Yeah, but all them names, they've all scored goals. And it's great to see that in a Rangers team, that we're not just reliant on Morelos, for example. Yeah. We know we can get goals from different positions. It's rare that somebody's taking all the headlines all the time. It seems to be getting spread about a bit more, which is can only be a good thing. A lot of teams would have failed when Sima got his injury, our top scorer. But other players have picked up the baton and continued it on. It's great to see. No seasons gone by, if Morelos had got an injury, we were struggling big time. Or if Morelos had too many five guys, if he was a secret visitor there, then we are in big trouble. But at least we can look around the first 11 now and probably look at 6-7 players that we think can actually get a goal in the game. If only we could get our corners to work and get goals and instead of scoring goals, then we'd be loving life.
It's all right. I think John's filed his papers for that video analyst role. So if he gets that, he's gotten in, and then he can start working on the corners, I'm thinking. At least that's my plan anyway.
We'll see. It's going, are we going out swingers or in swingers for the weekend?
I think we're so
lacking in goals for corners from set pieces like that, and it's just, and
especially with the amount that we get as well.
And it's something we've never struggled with before. We've never had this struggle before. We always were all right with set pieces. You always could rely on
somebody. Even with the same team, if you think back a few years and you had Goldson, Katic, Balogun, all chipping in with goals from corners, and now
nothing.
Do you think that Tav's taking the set pieces? He's taking most of the corners. Well, he's taking them all on the right hand side now. But then when Borna comes on, you've got two of the best set piece deliverers in the league. So it's a strange one. Yeah, I'm sure it's maybe something else that'll get worked on in the summer. But it was strange that when Clement came in, it was all outswingers. And then we went through a phase of all in swingers. And now we're back to outswingers again. So. Yeah,
I think it was mentioned. So when Aribo was there, we always used to play it towards the front post, and he would do that wee flick on to get it back, and then it would be your Goldsons, Cattages, etc., finishing it off. And we've never really replaced that since Aribo went there.
That's true.
And since it's come up, we're talking about goal of the month. I think Cattage is up for miss of the month. If you've seen that.
Missed
the season.
Yeah, I saw that.
Five yards out, open goal.
You're just about at Van Vossen levels for how bad I missed.
It's not as bad as the Dutch guy. Did you see the guy in the Dutch league that all he had to do was tap it in the sort of the right hand side of the post, and like he put his foot on it and he rolled it and he fell on top of it and it went out for a goal kick. No, you seen that?
I've only seen Kai.
That's the worst. It's the worst I've ever seen. That's up there with Canu's back in the Premier League days. That's one of the worst. No, well, thanks very much, guys. Thanks for giving up your time for this. We'll bring this to a close.
Perfect. No, thanks for having us, mate. It's good to talk Rangers, as always.
As always, anytime.
Aye.
Thanks very much, chaps. Then, if that's the case, we'll take it to a close. So, again, thanks very much for listening. And if you like what you hear, please follow and subscribe on all our social media platforms at This Is Ibrox. Until the next one, Bears. Thank you. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.